Welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat with Brent Kuhlman and Scott Porath, two pastors daring to be Lutheran, trying to feed your healthy theological radio addiction. Welcome, folks. Reading for understanding, kind of the approach we've been taking to the New Testament books recently. We've been in 1 Corinthians, if you've been listening in. And if you haven't, well, jump right in. You can pick up at any time. 1 Corinthians. We were talking about, last time, about the role of pastors and those whom the Lord has given to proclaim to the world what the world would consider to be foolishness. And we talked about what the wisdom of God truly is, as opposed to the wisdom of this world.
You know, before I forget, Scott, can I jump in here?
Absolutely.
You know, I thought all since Monday, I have been thinking that we need to do periodically funeral updates, wedding updates, or occasional service updates. What I mean by that is when we visit other places of worship and attend funerals and weddings and stuff, we should give people an update on what's the latest fad and rage. And this is piggybacking on what you said.
Do you have one?
I do. And it isn't that I've been, I want to talk about it because it's extremely sad. And it's perilous, salvationally perilous. I attended a funeral recently, and Jesus, except for the songs that were sung by the guitarist, Jesus was not proclaimed as Savior, not once. The preacher, not one time, proclaimed that Jesus is the Savior of sinners, not one time. There was no use for him at all in that regard. This is exceptionally troubling. And explicitly it was said that the person had no, how do you say it? I got to remember it correctly. That the person who had died didn't have any use for organized religion. Well, to a certain degree, I don't either. That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah. But define your terms now,
the
sir. The point,
however, what he meant by that is the guy never went to church. So he really didn't have any use for the Lord's words. Okay.
Say that differently. Did he have any use for Jesus?
That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the use of Jesus as the Savior of a sinner,
right,
himself. Well, so since Jesus is not, and categorically not, the Savior of sinners, so you can be saved differently. And the preacher explicitly said how you can be saved differently, apart from that kind of Jesus. So this person we know is in heaven because on the farm he communed with God. All right. Now, there's a grain of truth to that, by the way, but that's not salvific. And this gets to the point of 1 Corinthians, that the power and wisdom of God is not God in nature communing with farmers, or anybody else for that matter, golfers on the golf course or fishermen on the lake, but the power and wisdom of God to save sinners is only, and I say this explicitly because Paul does, it is only in the God-man Jesus Christ who died on the cross. And as Hebrews, you know, we preached. Did you preach for? Well, you weren't. You were on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and I subbed for you. And the epistle was Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11, I think it's verse 6, says that without faith it is impossible. Did you hear what I just said, folks? Without faith. And this isn't just generic faith in a God who communes with people in the fields. This is faith in the promise that Jesus died for you, the sinner. So without that kind of faith, Paul, most likely who wrote Hebrews, and other people who would disagree, but I'll say Paul did, mm-hmm. He wrote it. Paul says, without faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you the sinner, you can't please God. Now, this is this funeral update. Now, this is the norm that I've discovered in attending funeral services. There is no use for Jesus as the Savior of sinners, and so therefore people can go to heaven apart from faith in Jesus who died on the cross. Now, this is Antichrist. Let's be very blunt and clear about this. Mm-hmm. Because there was a man who recently, in a Bible class that I was teaching not too long ago, he quoted the 2 Thessalonians text to me about all the signs and wonders that the man of sin or the man of lawlessness uses. Well, folks, I got news for you. The signs and wonders that the man of sin or the man of lawlessness uses within the church in league with Satan, mm-hmm, is precisely what I encountered at that funeral. And it was as simple as just Jesus getting left out.
You know, Paul is constantly dealing with this, even as the church is dealing with this to this very day, as you noticed in that funeral. To the Galatians, what does he talk about? He talks about those who would preach another gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Those who preach another Jesus, which is really not the Savior of sinners, Jesus at all.
Yeah. Now, you know, what's interesting, and this is what was very helpful, is that the best friend of the man who died visited him while he was dying and had a conversation with him and prayed with him and told him, you need to believe in Jesus. It was the best friend who gave the eulogy that actually preached the best sermon.
Mm.
Jesus was important, and you'd better believe in him before you die. The pastor, on the other hand, irrelevant. Irrelevant. This is Antichrist.
Sometimes pastors don't want to be thought of as being foolish. And therefore, they don't preach that which is foolishness to the ears of the people sitting there sometimes. And as we've said, this message of the cross and this crucified one is foolishness. For the preacher to preach salvation by faith in Christ alone, a lot of people would say that's simply foolishness.
Can I use another word?
Sure.
That's bigoted. That's hateful. It's immoral.
Because it excludes?
Yeah.
Intolerant.
Yeah. But here's
it doesn't let us preach our own sermons to ourselves, if we can bang that drum one more time.
Well, yeah. Well, that's why I brought that up, because of how you introduced our talk today. And that then reminds me of 1 Corinthians 4, since we're looking again at 1 Corinthians, where Paul, as the apostle and pastor of this congregation, he founded the congregation, and he's still trying to take care of her. You know, so when there are reports of factions and divisions and all kinds of immorality and all other issues that we'll talk about either today or the next time we talk, he says in chapter 4, verse 1, you know, people ought to regard us, namely pastors, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Or as one translation, the stewards of the mysteries of God. That's the translation that I have in my mind.
Yeah, that's what the ESV has here. Steward of the mysteries. Stewards of the mysteries of God.
And then he says in verse 2, it is required that those who have been given a trust as a steward must prove faithful. And then connecting with my funeral experience, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. I think the pastor was afraid to tell the truth. He knows what gets people's approval when it comes to funerals of people who have no regard or no, what's the term? They have no use for organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell the truth, well, you ain't going to be a pastor very much longer in America, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, to speak the truth concerning one man might convict many.
A lot. A lot. By the way, it was interesting that after it was all over and we had lunch, one of the community members said, boy, that was a great service. And then he said, it's almost as good as yours. I didn't say anything, but I gave him a look that kind of took him off guard. And he made the remark, well, maybe you didn't think it was that good. We didn't get a chance to talk because I had another appointment, of course. How convenient.
I wonder sometimes, because you hear that all the time. People will comment about a funeral service that way. Oh, it was nice. That was nice. That was good.
Well,
as if, what would be a service that's not good? Well, if you rock the boat, I think. If everybody can go home feeling okay, then that's a good service. But you dare to speak the truth and convict sinners of sin and point to a Christ who's the Savior of sinners, well, that rocks the boat.
You know, there's a time and place for everything, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. And there is a time and a place when someone dies is to offer tribute of how the good use that the Lord had for them in their life as husband, as father, citizen, etc. There is a time and a place for that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happened, at least in my experience, is that, and no doubt I think you would agree with me, that generally speaking, most funerals these days in America, Jesus gets short shrifted, and the service is all about the person who's passed away. And so what I hear, I listen very carefully to people when I'm sitting around, you know, when they're eating lunch after funerals. They'll always say this language. They'll say, that was a great tribute to that person. But no one ever, I've never heard, except maybe, you know, the doctrine people like me, the doctrine lovers, they'll never say, Jesus was preached as Savior. How wonderful that was today. Do you ever hear that from people? Very rarely.
No.
Very rarely.
No. So, well, sometimes you'll hear, you know, you have members that go and they go to funerals and all the different kinds of places. And a lot of times they experience what you have described. And every now and then they'll come back and they'll use language like that because it was refreshing to hear a Jesus preached that the sinner could make use of.
Yeah, they might not be able to articulate it.
Right.
By the way, here's another. I think this is a correlation. When Jesus is no longer needed as the Savior of sinners, you know what else gets dropped from these services?
Well, I would think a whole host of things. What do you have in mind?
Praying in the way our Lord taught us.
True.
The Lord's Prayer is always never prayed in these services. Now, I think that's a direct correlation. Because the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us, namely the Lord's Prayer, is a prayer, is faith. Faith that relies upon Him and the Father who sent Him to forgive us our trespasses, to deliver us from evil, to give us our daily bread, etc., that His kingdom will come among us. I want to make one more point on this. This all hangs together. When Jesus is not preached categorically as the Savior of sinners, you really, if you're an outsider and you're not a Christian, you wouldn't know for sure what kind of service you're at, because there's not an invocation. The service never begins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When prayers are said, very rarely are they addressed to God the Father specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't even know if this is a Trinitarian congregation of Christians. It might be some other sect, or this hangs together, you see. And the point is not just to be critical here. This is not the point. The point is Jesus, when He is diminished, you've got a huge problem. And when He gets diminished, there are other things that get diminished that flow from that.
See, and I think one of the common threads that might run through this is the incarnational aspect. You made the connection with the Our Father. Well, once again, if you've been Greeked, you know, God is the far, far away God. He's the unmovable mover. But with the incarnation, you have God coming into this flesh to be our brother, with whom we call upon our Father. It's God getting His hands dirty and bloodied for the sinner. I think some of this is not wanting to deal with the God in the flesh. If you keep God at a distance, maybe that gives you more freedom to have your own kind of God.
And to piggyback, it's the justification of the self. So why is it that this happens? To justify ourselves. To justify our whatever we think.
Well, we can't stand before God on the basis of His truth, and so we'll develop our own.
That's why Paul said, "If you're going to boast, only boast in the Lord." Remember, we talked about that.
I think it's rigged. I think we're rigging it so that we win with the Lord, rather than simply living by faith, in which He assures us of our salvation. Well, we've rambled for a little bit here. We'll be back.